That whole thing went on, and then finally we had a lockout. We locked out the gate, and that was the first time in 100 years of history that it ever happened. So when we were locking out, the superintendent of police, who was a very good friend of mine, because I also teach at the police college and so on, so he's an old student of mine as well, he called me and he said, I'm going to send a battalion of armed police for your protection. I said, thank you very much for your concern. I don't want any armed police. I don't want any police here. This is between me and my workers. He said, then don't blame me if you get killed. I said, no, I won't blame you if I get killed. I said, I will get killed or not killed depending on what Allah has written for me. You can't save me if it is my day, and you can't kill me, or somebody can't kill me if it's not my time. So I thank you very much for your courtesy, but I don't want any police. So I absolutely refused. That went on. My boss called me, the owner of the company, he called me from Chennai, and he told me, leave the place, go and stay in Trivandrum in a hotel. And he gave me the name of the five-star hotel. He said, go and stay in the hotel because your life is in danger. We are getting lots of reports to say that there are death threats to you, and move from the place. So I said, what happens to my staff? What about my staff? He said, there is no threat to them. The staff can stay there. I said, sorry, I'm not leaving my place without my staff. Either we all go or nobody goes. He said, you are crazy. I said, yeah, I'm crazy, but that's how I work. I stand by my people. So I had five assistant managers. I called all five of them. I said, come and move into my house. So we had a huge big house. Each one took a bedroom, five families of the assistants. And incidentally, I was the only Muslim. Five of us, we all stayed together. All the rest were Hindus. Five and one Christian. So all of them, we all stayed together in my house. We all ate at the same table. My wife was the hostess for everybody. And they spent over 3 weeks in my house. Now this continued. Now, during that time, one day I went into the plant just to walk around and see, you know, the security of the place and how it is and so on. And as I'm walking around in the plant and so on, I see two guys following me. And I know that these two guys are from the union. They are from the city, not my employees. They are from the union office, and they are following me. So I asked them, I said, why are you here? They didn't say anything. So anyway, I finished my inspection. I went back to the office. And those days, no mobile phones and so on. So I went back to the office. I called the union. I called Perumal. I said, why are your union people following me around? Perumal tells me, and see how much information they have. Perumal tells me, your boss called you and told you to move to Trivandrum and you refused. The superintendent of police calls you and tells you that he is going to send protection for you, police, armed police for you, and you refuse. And on top of that, you don't even stay in your house. You walk around the plant. Now, I don't want anything to happen to you personally. The union is not against you personally, and we don't want some guy to do some nonsense to you. So therefore, we have put two people who are going to be your protectors. They will be with you if anything happens to you, to make sure nothing happens to you. Our fight is with you on a matter of principle, and that's the end of the story. Now imagine, the union is giving me protection. I mean, it's completely unimaginable in any country in the world, believe me. The union giving protection to the manager who locked out the plant against their own members. But my point is, if you stand on justice, if you do your part, people will see and people will do. I was going around in the estate one day. I go to the hospital. I had a headache. So I went to the hospital. When I went to the hospital, I see people running around like crazy. I said, what happened to you? Why is everyone running around? They said, sir, there is this lady in the labor room. She is in labor, and she has no blood, and she needs blood transfusion, and otherwise she and the child are going to die. So I said, what happened? Why can't you get blood? Now in India, as you know, we have the Hindu caste system has the lowest of the low, the Dalits. Now this lady is a Dalit. So they said, well, you see, there is nobody to give blood to her. We are trying to find her family to give blood to her. The family, nobody is, you know, they couldn't get hold of anyone. And other people won't give blood. So I said, take my blood. So they were shocked. The woman, the nurse looks at me. She said, you will give your blood to this lady? I said, of course. I said, the blood is not Dalit blood. Allah created one people, man. Allah didn't give a, you know, green blood to a black man and red blood to an Indian and yellow blood to a white man. Allah gave blood to people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created black people, white people, yellow people, all kinds of people. And Allah created them all as human beings. I said, you are the ones who make all these classifications on race and religion and caste and all this shit. I said, I'm not part of that. Take my blood. The doctor came and he said, look, he wants to give his blood. What's your problem? Take his blood. So they laid me down. They took out two bottles of blood and my headache went away. So maybe that was a good thing for my headache as well. So I gave my blood. I went home. That evening, the whole union comes to my house. Now, this was, I had an unwritten rule. I said, nobody comes to my house. You got a problem. I have an office. Go to the office. But they came to the house. So my butler comes and tells me, sir, the union wants to see you. I said, what? I went there. And the union, the head of the union, he comes. And you know, in India, the mark of great respect, they touch your feet. And that was another thing. I said, nobody touches my feet. Nobody bows to me. I don't bow to anyone other than Allah. I don't want anyone to bow to me. So no one bows to me. The union leader comes to me. He says, today, we are going to touch your feet and you are not going to say no. I said, what for what? They said, you gave blood to one of us. So I said to him, I said, tell me something. If I was lying in that operation theater and if I needed blood, would you have given your blood or no? And the man tells me, he said, sir, we would have given, but your kind don't give. So you gave. He said, this has never happened in living memory. You gave, so we have to honor that. I tell you, I felt happy and I felt very sad at the same time. Happy and very sad at the same time. Now, these are the people. And then what happened was that there was a big dispute between the union and the management. And the management was taking one line. My boss called me and told me, you go and sell this to the union because no one else can sell it. If you can sell it, then we will put it through in the other other places in the company. So I went and spoke to them. They told me, we'll come back to you tomorrow morning. They come back the next morning and they tell me, our union has advised us not to follow what you are saying, but we have decided we are going to follow. I said, why? He said, because you are saying it. No other reason. Because you are saying it. We don't agree with it, but we will do it because you are saying it. Seriously, I, in all my life of working with militant unions in Guyana, in India, in Guyana, I don't know if I mentioned that the entire union, that whole town was black African. In India, of course, they were all Indians, but they were you know, Malayalis, people from Kerala and Tamil Nadu, and extremely militant people. But always, the same principle applies, which is stand for justice, stand for humanity, stand for compassion. Union, management, relations, politics, all is one side. End of the day, we are human beings. We are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Whether or not, one of the big mistakes that managements make, a lot of managements everywhere I've seen, I saw that in Ghana, I saw that in India as well. To this day it happens. People try to buy the police. They try to buy the labor department people. They try to buy judges. They do all kinds of things. So what ends up happening is that now here is a case where a poor worker has been abused. Maybe they were not paid. Maybe somebody beat them. Maybe whatever else happened. But those workers cannot get justice because they don't have the money. So they have to lump it. And if they say anything, they will get kicked out of the job. So they end up losing the job also. Their family suffers. So they have to lump it and they take it and they take it and they take it. But believe me, people have memories. People have memories. And then one day somebody stands up for them and then there is hell to pay. Because what you did was basically you were unjust and you tried to push that injustice based on your money power. Believe me, Ibrahim, I've seen this. This works for a while. No doubt it works for a while, but it does not work in the long run. And in the long run, the results are very, very, very bad always. Now, the key thing to understand is, irrespective of whether or not you can get away with any kind of injustice in this life, whether you are an individual, whether you are a country, whether or not you can get away with injustice in this life, the fact remains you cannot get away with injustice before Allah. If you can subvert witnesses, if you can buy the witnesses, if you can intimidate the witnesses, Allah is the witness, and you cannot buy Allah, and you cannot intimidate Allah. If the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the dua of the oppressed against his oppressor goes directly to the throne of Allah, and Allah listens to it, even if the oppressed is not a Muslim and the oppressor is a Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will be the witness for the non-Muslim who was oppressed by a Muslim before the throne of Allah on the day of judgment. The non-Muslim who did not believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will have Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his witness, speaking in his favor against the Muslim who oppressed him in this life. Do we believe in Islam or do we not believe in Islam? Let us understand this very clearly. There is no partial game to be played in this. If you believe in Islam, you believe in all of it. You cannot believe in a piece of it. And if you don't believe in Islam, then that's that. And I have nothing more to say. But in Islam, Islam stands for justice. And we have to stand for justice because we are Muslims. Just because you can get away with something does not mean that you can get away with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me take this a bit further. What do we say about the Israelis? What do we say about the Zionists? Not the Jews. The Jews are good people. It's the Zionists. The Zionists, the Israelis. What they are doing in Gaza. What they are doing in Palestine. What do we say about them? Are they not getting away with it apparently in this life today? They are getting away with it. They are getting away with it. They are killing people. They are killing men and women. They are killing children. They are oppressing them. They are starving them to death. They are doing all kinds of things. But as on date, they are winning. They are succeeding. They are getting away with it. But what is our aqidah? Our aqidah is that they cannot get away with it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow injustice to carry on indefinitely. So there will come a time when there will be a reckoning. If not in this world, then before their Rabb, when they die and we die and we stand before our Rabb. Why do we believe that this applies only to the Zionists and Israelis? Does it not apply to us? If a Muslim does that, believe me, the Muslim is standing in the position of the Zionist and the Israeli who he is criticizing. Whoever it is, whether it's a Muslim, whether it's a Hindu, whether it's a white man or a black man or whoever, injustice is injustice. No matter who does it, injustice to one is injustice to all. So what we need to do, as far as labor relations is concerned, I've said this always, and alhamdulillah, I've always practiced it, which is go and look in the mirror. Look at yourself and say, what have we been doing? If we have been doing wrong, alhamdulillah, no problem, correct yourself today. If you have been doing something wrong, own up to it first and then correct yourself, because believe me, whether or not you can get away with it in this life, you are not going to get away with it before Allah. And believe me, you don't want to die with the dua of an oppressed person against you. That you don't want to die. And whether that oppressed person was white or black or green or Muslim or atheist or Christian or Hindu makes no difference whatsoever. That dua, that invocation, that prayer of the oppressed person goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his arsh, on his throne, whether or not the man making the dua, the woman making the dua, whether or not they called on Allah, the dua goes to Allah. Whether or not they believed in Allah, the dua goes to Allah. Whatever happens, the dua goes to Allah. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will be the witness for such people on the day of judgment. Believe me, I don't want Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be a witness against me on the day of judgment. Wallahi, I don't want Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be a witness against me, because then I don't have a chance. Now that's the point that I say, that as far as labor relations are concerned, it's no rocket science. Implement the law of the land because you live in that land. You are bound by the law of the land. Don't try to subvert it. Don't try to spread corruption. Don't try to buy the police or the whoever, whether they are for sale or not. That is not your job. Implement the law. Give people their due and give more. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, give more. When you are weighing, he said, don't give equal, give more. That is our principle. Our ustad is Muhammadur Rasulullah, is not anybody else. And what Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, find me one instance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam having been unjust in his life. Zaid bin Thabit radiyallahu anhu, Zaid bin Haritha radiyallahu anhu was Rasulullah sallallahu servant. He was a black boy, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Zaid bin Haritha about the treatment that he got from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the black boy who was the servant of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, forget about hitting me, forget about cursing me, forget about shouting at me. He said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never even frowned at me. He never even frowned at me. He tells the story. He said one day Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called me and gave me some money and said, go and get something from the market. He said, I went, and on the way I found some friends of mine. They were playing, so I got involved with them. I started playing and so on. Time passed, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to look for me, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, here is this boy gone somewhere, he's disappeared. Now what happened? Is he alive, dead, or what happened to him? He came to look for him, and he said he found me playing with the boys. And he said, as soon as I saw him, I got a fright. I came running. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled at me. Now here is There is this boy, a servant, who's been sent to do some job. He doesn't do the job. He's playing hooky. He's playing with his friends. And his master, when he comes there, what does he do? He smiles at him. So he smiled at him and he said to Zaid, he said, you're having a game. He said, Ya Salam. So he said, no, go ahead, go play. Just give me the money. I will go and get the thing. So Zaid bin Haritha said, I now look for the money in my pocket, but the money fell away somewhere because I was running around and playing and I didn't even have the money. So I said, I felt very ashamed. I said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm sorry, I didn't even do your job and I don't even have the money and money is lost. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, he smiled at me again. He said, go finish your game and don't worry about that. Finish your game and come home safe. And he went off to get whatever he wanted. Why do we listen to these stories? For the entertainment? Because they are nice stories? Or do we listen to these stories because we have to implement them in our lives? Which one is it? I ask myself. And that is the point I'm saying, that we as employers, we as business people, we as the bosses, as long as you follow, especially the Muslims, as long as you follow the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as long as you follow the teachings of Islam, believe me, you can come to no harm. Nobody will touch you. People will worship you. People will love you. People will come and kiss you. They will not be, there's no chance of you offending or oppressing anybody, as long as you follow the teachings of your religion. But if you leave the religion and you become arrogant and you start ill-treating people, then obviously something is going to happen somewhere. And then we don't have to blame anybody for it. It's our own fault. And that's why I'm saying implement. I always say to myself, and I've done it, and I tell anybody who asks me, implement the law of the land. Pay people what they are supposed to be paid. Don't steal from them, because you will answer to Allah. Give them the benefits that are due to them. People are entitled to medical benefits. People are entitled to provident fund. Whatever the entitlement in your country is, I don't know what the entitlement is. Africa is, but I'm sure it is at least as good as India. We have to pay them and we must give them benefits. It is a shameful thing that somebody works for me for 10 years, 15 years, and then when he goes home, he just has a salary, he's got no benefit. What is the good of the man working for me? Tomorrow, if he drops dead, what happens? Tomorrow, he has no house of his own. If he falls sick, what happens? This is shameless. They're absolutely shameless. We must pay people what is due to them. We must give them the benefits. And I told you, it's not a matter of opinion. Open your books, you see what you are doing. You know perfectly well what you are doing. No matter who you hid it from, no matter whose tongue you stopped with your dollars, no matter whose mouth you shut with your money, the fact remains, what you did, you did. And what you didn't do, you didn't do. So what must you do now? Make amends. Immediately sit down, take stock, own up to what you did wrong. Whoever you hurt, whoever you oppressed, call those people, apologize to them, pay them compensation, because settle the account here, because you don't want to go into your grave with that account pending. That much I will tell you. You don't want to go into your grave with that account pending. Instead of spreading rumors and talking all kinds of stuff all over the place, let us be very clear and do what we are supposed to do. Follow the law of the land. And then do something more. That way, you give a beautiful impression. People actually see the beauty of Islam in action. Remember, today I am convinced the people of the world today are sick and tired of Muslims talking about Islam. The world is saying to us, put up or shut up. Show us Islam or shut your mouth. I'm not interested in listening to you about Islam. We don't want to know about Islam. We want to see Islam in action. You want to talk about, you say Islam stands for peace, we want to see peace. You say Islam stands for compassion, we want to see compassion. You say Islam stands against oppression, we want to see Muslims standing against oppression, not oppressing. You say Islam stands for women's rights, we want to see women getting the rights that Allah gave them, which men don't want to give them. You say Islam stands for education, we want to see Muslims promoting education. And so on and so on. Islam stands for charity. We want to see charity. Alhamdulillah, in South Africa, the work that Sanzaf is doing, the work that Awqaf is doing, the work that the Jamiatul Ulama is doing in Natal as well as in Johannesburg, the work that the charity organizations are doing all over the world. Alhamdulillah, the face of South Africa is there. Anywhere anybody has pain, anybody has suffering, any disaster, any calamity, there is a South African there who is standing there with money donated all over the world. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. South Africans are a credit to the world. I feel so proud to say that I have South African friends. But the point is that the same charity has to be first first in your own home. And that is a very critical matter. I'm not saying you're not doing it. All I'm saying is, if those who are not doing it, start doing it. Whoever is doing it, alhamdulillah, all power to you. But who is not doing it needs to start doing it now. Charity begins at home. Charity begins at home even in Islam. Charity begins at home everywhere. And therefore, we have to do that much more than what we do now in South Africa itself. The people of South Africa, whether they are black, whether they are white, whoever they are brothers and sisters to one another.